I'm Lindsay Smith, welcoming you to Raise the Line with Osmosis from Elsevier, an ongoing exploration about how to improve health and healthcare. We recently had the genuine pleasure of connecting with the HOSA organization at a student conference earlier this year in Nashville, Tennessee. HOSA and Osmosis are united by a shared mission, cultivating the next generation of healthcare leaders. For HOSA, this means equipping its members to lead within the global health community through education, collaboration, and hands-on experiences. At Osmosis, we advance our mission in two key ways. First, through the Osmosis Health Leadership Initiative, which empowers student leaders around the world to champion our values and drive innovation in healthcare education on campus and beyond. Second, through Osmosis's learning platform, which equips clinicians and caregivers with engaging, effective, and efficient education tools, such as videos, flashcards, and high-yield notes, to help expand healthcare capacity and ultimately improve patient outcomes. In this episode, I'm thrilled to welcome Dr. David Kelly, the chair of the board at HOSA. For the past 50 years, HOSA has been a student-led global organization committed to preparing future health professionals to become leaders in international health. Dr. Kelly, currently a fellow in oculofacial plastic surgery at the University of California, San Francisco, will share his inspiring journey with HOSA and how the organization has helped shape his path as both a physician and a leader. Dr. Kelly, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So I'd like to start with learning more about you and what first got you interested in medicine.
Sure. You know, like a lot of people, I think I had an idea that it might be something I was interested in. Actually, from a very early age, I always had an affinity for science in elementary school, middle school, but I'm a pretty extroverted person. I didn't have an idea of how to connect that interest to kind of a customer service field, if you will. I knew I wanted to work with people, form those long-term relationships. And it wasn't really until high school that I found that connection, that I could connect the science that I loved in my classes to working with people. And pretty early on, I became involved in HOSA Future Health Professionals, what I'm really most here to talk about today, but I've since kind of run with it. And I'm now proud to be a fellow in oculofacial plastic surgery at University of California, San Francisco.
That's awesome to hear. And we're definitely going to spend a lot of time on the HOSA topic. Can you tell us what's involved in your specialty?
Sure. So oculofacial plastic surgery is a subspecialty of ophthalmology. So I did, of course, 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of medical school, and then 4 years of ophthalmology residency. But oculofacial plastics deals with anything involving the eyelids and the orbit or the eye socket. So what most people think about is the cosmetic aspects of surgery with lid lifts, things of that nature, which can also be very medically significant. You know, if you can't see the superior part of your world, then that's a problem and needs to be fixed. But we also do anything involving the eye socket. So unfortunately, a number of tumors that can grow back there, lots of trauma. We see the eye socket fractures and repair those. And then we also work on the tear drainage system for people who have chronic tear blockages or difficulty with too many tears, not enough tears, anything like that. It's a pretty small subspecialty, but there is a great need for it, especially in academic medicine.
That's a really interesting specialty, combining precision surgery with aesthetic expertise as well. Very interesting. I want to talk about HOSA. So can you give our listeners an overview of what HOSA is, its mission, and how the organization has evolved over the years?
Sure. Wow, that is a big question, Lindsay. You know, I'll start with kind of the 30,000-foot view. You know, HOSA is a student-led organization, students anywhere from middle school all the way to post-secondary, collegiate students, over 300,000 active members throughout those divisions. And our mission is really to empower the next generation of future health professionals. So we do that through education, collaboration, and experience. So most people who have participated in HOSA, the first thing that comes to mind is our signature competitive events program. We have over 100 competitive events that run the gamut, anything from exploring the science behind a specific health career to something more general, career preparation, like job seeking skills, where students actually go into a mock interview with a CV or resume and get that experience early on in their educational career. So we have almost 100 of those, and people will compete at state or regional conferences, and the top performers are invited to our International Leadership Conference. This year was in Nashville, and we had over 12,000 individual competitors competing in those events to grow their skills, their confidence, and to learn those critical professionalism skills that will prepare them, you know, not just to be the future of the health workforce, but to be leaders of that workforce. We also, as I said, we're student-led entirely, so everywhere from our International Executive Council down to individual chapters in the classroom. Those students are elected by their peers, and they put together a program of work that sees them getting involved in their community through service projects. We have an international service project with the National Marrow Donor Program, but we also encourage them to get involved, to get volunteer hours at local healthcare facilities, and to invite speakers who may or may not be HOSA alumni to form those connections and really get them involved in their local health communities.
Thank you for that overview. And just to share from my own experience, I was fortunate enough to attend the HOSA conference in Nashville earlier this year, and I was genuinely blown away by the caliber of students, their drive, their enthusiasm, their passion. It was so inspiring. And it left me feeling really hopeful about the future of healthcare. And I also left with many, many HOSA pins. I could have maybe set off a metal detector on the way out.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about the pins and the meeting people and the trading that happens at these conferences?
Sure. And you know, that's something, Lindsay, I think that is entirely student-led. That's not something that we, promoted in any way. It's just something that specific states started to do. You know, we have around 50 or 55 associations. Many of them are connected to a state. Some are connected, though, to other countries. We are an international, a global organization. And so it's something that people love to do. And I think it really, you know, it's fun because they get, you know, the designs get kind of crazier, more over the top over the years. There are certain pins that are always a hot commodity on the, you know, the trading market there on the expo floor. But it also shows how much the average student gains from an international conference like this, because they're not just trading a pin. They're learning where someone else is from. They're learning about their perspectives and their career interests. And when you talk about coming to the conference and being blown away by the caliber of student, that's everyone that we work with that, you know, sometimes people tell us, oh, well, you know, high school, especially middle school, is way too early, you know, to be talking to students about career preparation, and they don't know what they want to do. You know, from being there, these kids know exactly what they want to do. They're deciding now. And it's important, I think, for industry to reach out to them to foster that interest and make sure that, you know, everyone ends up doing something that they're passionate about and that they are best equipped to excel in that field and to lead that field into the future.
Absolutely. So beyond the pin trading and the excitement of meeting students from around the world, HOSA offers something really impactful, I think, and it's a clear approach to helping members become global leaders in healthcare. How do you do that, and what does that look like in action?
You know, I think about every moment that a student spends within a HOSA program, again, whether it's in a classroom, at a local chapter meeting, or at one of our state or at our international leadership conference, as a learning point. So, you know, one of the challenges that I think the health industry faces, that every workforce faces, certainly that the student of today faces, is a disconnectedness. So much of our world is connected because of technology, but that also creates a little bit of distance for what I call, you know, analog experiences or face-to-face experiences that are still really, really important, especially if you're going to be working with patients. Whenever a student walks into a competition, and let's say they're presenting on a public service announcement, for example, that's one of our competitive events, that they work with a team over the course of months to storyboard and script and film a fully formed public service announcement about a specific topic, they have to present that, you know, live in front of a judge. And we're talking about freshmen, sophomores in high school, they're getting that first experience in, you know, a higher pressure situation a decade earlier sometimes than their peers. And so my goal, you know, one of my goals certainly is that every HOSA student has that type of experience where they're able to gain, you know, that experience and start gaining that skill earlier in order to give them a head start.
I watched the hackathon. I saw so many competitions happening and workshops happening. And I think what stood out to me is that it was clear that it wasn't just about the skills, but also creating that mindset and that exposure and that sense of community so early on, which was very cool. I mentioned in our intro that you have a long personal association with the HOSA. How did that journey start for you?
Yeah, you know, I was very fortunate that there was a very established HOSA chapter in my high school. I joined as a sophomore, and I joined pretty much as soon as I knew that healthcare was something that might be right for me. I will say I competed in HOSA Bowl for my first 2 years of membership, which is like Quiz Bowl, but has all to do, you know, with health and health history and health science terminology. We were terrible, quite frankly. We did very badly at our state leadership conference in Oklahoma the first year. The second year, we actually did qualify to make it to the international conference, and we were out within the first round. I mean, if you saw the competitions, you know how good some of these teams are. But I also pretty quickly got involved in the student leadership aspect. So I ran for Oklahoma state office and was elected onto that team, and was honored to lead Oklahoma HOSA for a year. And then in 2011 was actually looking at continuing that experience. And so I ended up running for what is now the International Executive Council. Had no idea how much I would learn throughout that very intensive week of putting together a campaign and meeting students, again, from all over the world, asking for their votes. But I was honored to be elected national president and served from 2012 through 2013. Since then, you know, obviously HOSA is something I'm very passionate about. I've continued to be involved as an alumnus, representing HOSA to various, you know, professional bodies and government partners, or business partners, partners in education, through work at our conferences, and then also most recently through work on the board of directors. It's an incredibly exciting time to be involved in HOSA. We may talk a little bit later about our 50th anniversary year, which is underway. We're very proud of that milestone, but I consider it really the most important work of my life to date has been continuing to be involved and making sure that we are serving, you know, the future of the health workforce because they desperately need it.
It sounds like you've had a lot of highlights at HOSA, and it's clear that HOSA has given so many students a place to grow, connect, and step into the kind of those leadership roles. I want to come back to what you were talking about earlier about your growth as a leader and how HOSA has influenced that. What's been the most meaningful impact it's had on your career? Is it helping kind of guide and influence and help that next generation of healthcare students? Or can you speak a little bit on that?
Sure. You know, being involved in HOSA has definitely kind of engendered in me a love for mentorship and education. And that's something that as a physician, I'll carry through the rest of my career as kind of a tenet. It's what I think I love most about medicine. But it also just gave me so much so early as far as those communication and professionalism skills. You know, being able to record this podcast with you, for example, you know, you could invite any student, certainly who's on our International Executive Council or our state executive councils, and they'd be able to do this with very little preparation, you know, much more eloquently than I am. So HOSA really provides a framework, I think, for personal and professional growth. The really cool thing is it looks different for every single student, every chapter, and every state. We provide the framework and the resources, but the students really take it and run. They tell us what aspects of our programs they want to get involved with, how they want to grow, what their goals are, and they're able to put that into action, not only to add items on their CV or their resume, but also just to become, you know, a better overall student, a better overall leader.
Thank you for sharing that. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your current role with HOSA and wearing your board chair hat. How would you describe the key challenges and opportunities that HOSA has to navigate today?
You know, I think the challenges that HOSA faces in 2025 are the same as the challenges that our students face. You know, it's no secret that healthcare, medical careers, medical training is in flux, and that it can be very difficult, very rigorous. There's high turnover. I think industry is realizing this, you know, as well. And so we've had a lot of very productive conversations with health industry folks over the last 5 to 10 years, because I think they're realizing that HOSA can be a solution to some of those issues. You have to make sure that people are going into healthcare who are really passionate about it. I think that's required, certainly, in order to excel in this field. They have to make sure that, you know, the people that are being put at the bedside have the skills and have the compassion and have the professionalism in order to be able to draw patients into their care team. That's something I love to talk about, because it's something that the medical community didn't focus on. 20 or 30 years ago, they thought, who has the best test scores? Certainly, they're going to make the best doctors. Well, we know that that's not the case, right? You have to have someone who is able to effectively communicate to a patient and who's able to bring that person into their care team, because a patient in 2025 is not going to just accept whatever their provider says as gospel. You know, they come in with their own research, they ask questions, and they have to understand why you're recommending the course or the plan that you are. And if you can do that effectively, it makes you, you know, not only a more skilled provider, but also a more compassionate one.
That's great advice. And we're going to get to more advice for our early career health professionals in our audience in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to talk about the current initiatives that HOSA is doing and what you would like our audience to know about them.
I think first and foremost, you know, the elephant in the room for us is our 50th anniversary. This has been in planning for over a decade now, I'd say. We have, you know, a lot of plans already. We're still making plans. The number one takeaway for, I think, your audience, a lot of them are going to be HOSA alumni. Mm-hmm. And so those alumni may or may not still be connected to their local chapter, to their state association, or to the international organization. So I'd really ask that they go on online to HOSA.org and register to be an alumni member. We have some initiatives coming out in the next few years that are going to be more focused on our alumni. We want to make sure that we're keeping them engaged, because a lot of them, quite frankly, are like me and want a way to give back to the organization and continue to pay it forward and, you know, mentor and empower the next generation. The other thing that's really been, I think, recently very gratifying and that's fueled our growth is our focus on industry partnerships and sponsorships. It's important to us. It's important to our students, because affordability, not only of HOSA programs, but certainly a medical education, but any kind of health or health training, education's expensive. And so being able to get support through scholarship partnerships, things of that nature with industry are really important, I think, for our membership. But more than that, our industry partners help us to fulfill our mission. You know, where else, Lindsay, do you see a major health employer like HCA Healthcare interacting with high school students? You know, the answer is nowhere. And they understand, as most of our partners do, again, that our members, they know what they want to do, and they just need to ensure that they have the resources and that they're equipped to make it all the way through that sometimes very long educational journey to achieve their goal and end up leading the career field of their choice.
Well, congratulations on the huge milestone with the 50th anniversary this year, and we'll be sure to share out the alumni contact information in the show notes. So where do you see HOSA in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think first and foremost, larger. We've experienced really exponential growth. And I think that's driven, you know, I think it's driven by the need, quite frankly. There are shortages in workforce throughout the health sector. but I think it's also because we have greater name recognition. We're at a size now that if you talk to someone on the street and they're interested in healthcare or their healthcare worker, there's a decent chance, certainly, that they know about HOSA, but there's also a decent chance that they are a HOSA alumnus. And so that's really exciting for us just to have reached that scale. At the same time, I do see us more as diversifying our offerings, particularly for the youngest and maybe our more mature members. Our largest division by far has always been our secondary or high school our member. But our post-secondary collegiate division continues to grow, and we're constantly exploring new ways to engage those students because the needs of a post-secondary collegiate student, very, very different. They have some of those experiences under their belts. They're looking for places, for example, to showcase professional research. On the other hand, our newest division is our middle school division. And again, people say, you're talking to middle school students about, high-level career development. And of course, everything is tailored to the appropriate level. But we're looking forward in the next few years to continue to develop that program out so we're better serving those students, because a lot of them know at least that they're interested in science, like I was. And many of them know that they're interested in healthcare. And so how do we help them to kind of foster that passion and focus those skills? Because, Lindsay, one of the challenges of the educational system, students are being asked to make these very important decisions earlier and earlier and earlier. And there are a lot of opportunities out there. You just have to know that those doors are there to walk through.
Yeah. And I like what you said there about, like, how does HOSA continue to meet the needs of tomorrow's healthcare leaders, which we certainly need. So excited to see what you guys will continue to do in this space.
Oh, absolutely.
As you know, we're a teaching company and we love to fill knowledge gaps. Is there a topic you think Osmosis should make a video about to fill a gap that is of particular concern or of interest to you? I know you had mentioned earlier about effectively communicating with patients, but is there anything else you think we should maybe create a video on?
Oh, absolutely. Tangential to that, and I know that you've certainly explored the role of artificial intelligence, AI, but I think right now, certainly in ophthalmology, I'm sure in every specialty, there's a lot of research right now coming out about uses of AI, ethical, non-ethical, problematic, So it's interesting because I see a clear demarcation between AI use, for example, for something like documentation, which does take up a huge amount of your day-to-day as a physician, as any kind of provider. And then there's a second category of AI use, which is actually helping with diagnosis, inputting and getting an output. But I think the area that's maybe most immediately of concern for the health industry is patient use of AI. Because certainly it can be marketed for patient use, right? I mean, there are people, as we speak, going on using some of these platforms right now to attempt to diagnose a problem. And of course, creators will say they're not designed for that, but that's not going to stop anyone. So I think physicians, providers in general, have to be aware that patients are using these tools, and we have to be prepared to educate patients about the limitations right now of that technology, because what AI spits out can sound really, really good. That's what it's best at. But I think when things look and sound that slick, it's hard to understand that there's not thinking going on behind it like we think about it. And so making sure that patients are informed and sophisticated users of this really revolutionary and important technology.
That's a fantastic suggestion. And I think it's exactly the kind of gap we love to fill, something that's relevant and deeply useful for everyone. So we will take that back to the content team for review. Before we wrap up today's episode, I've got one final question for you. In our audience, we have many students and early career health professionals. I want to ask you what your advice is to them about meeting the challenges of the moment and approaching their career in healthcare.
So I know you ask this question a lot, and I'm not going to tell you a different answer than you've probably heard before. And if you asked me this question 100 times, I'd give you this exact same answer every single time because it's so important. And that's that you have to find something that you're passionate about and run with that. I think particularly in healthcare, people have sometimes this idea that becoming a physician, for example, is this benchmark of success or of wealth. But being 31 years old and still in training, I'll tell you that if that is the driver, it doesn't work. I've seen people, I feel like, far too late in their educational journeys be honest with themselves that they need to make a change. And so that's difficult because sometimes they may have had that opportunity 5 or 10 years ago to discover what it is that they really want to do. You know, one thing I think that HOSA provides is it shows students from a very early age, in many cases, the full breadth of health careers that are available. You know, thousands and thousands of different niches and specialties and people who are at the bedside and people who aren't at the bedside. You know, it's really fascinating. And those careers all deserve to be explored because everyone's skills and passions are going to lead them somewhere else. But, you know, as a physician, I'll tell you, sometimes people say, oh, if I just get into medical school or I just match into residency, then everything will get easier. It doesn't. You have to love what it is that you do. And the earlier you find that, the better. And that's one thing that, you know, I love to see in HOSA, people finding what it is that they want to do. And oftentimes the careers that these students are telling me they're interested in, you have a junior in high school telling me they're interested in a career I don't know exists, you know, and that's I think the coolest thing, because you know that they have sought out, you know, that specific niche and they found that it's for them and now they can take it and they can run with it.
That's such great advice. Find passion and run with it. Thank you, Dr. Kelly, for being with us today.
Oh, of course.
And that's a wrap on today's episode. Dr. Kelly's story is a powerful testament to the impact HOSA has on shaping future health professionals, not just in their careers, but in their capacity to lead and inspire. As we celebrate 50 years of HOSA's legacy, your experience reminds us of the importance of mentorship, vision, and community in healthcare leadership. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. I'm Lindsay Smith. Thanks for checking out today's show. Remember to do your part to raise the line and strengthen the healthcare system. We're all in this together.
If you like this podcast, please share it on your social channels. You can also subscribe to the series and check out all of our episodes at osmosis.org/raisethelinepodcast.